Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymn their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sore. For truth or Jesus' lovely name, shout victory now and hail the Lamb, and bow before the great I am, and bow before the great I am. While roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Holy,
deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gift, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Good morning. Good to be with you all again this morning in our new virtual world that we're living in these days. I miss seeing you all in person and looking forward to getting back to that next week, Lord willing. Thankful for the opportunity this morning to share a few thoughts as we turn our attention to remembering Jesus this morning. I've been spending a fair amount of time the past few weeks reading in the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, in Ezekiel now. Some of these passages are really dark and really heavy, and I'm just struck with just how very angry God seems to be with his own chosen people. Angry and I would say well justified, because after everything God has done for them, they had utterly and despicably and in many ways turned their back on him. They had done terrible, sordid things that, and we can't hardly even imagine it. And it's, you know, some of them are just gruesome to even read about. But mostly they had forgotten their God, their rock, their Savior, their guide who had brought them out from the land of Egypt and out from under Egyptian bondage and had been with them every step of the way and had promised them that he would be with them and would take care of them. And yet they had turned their backs on him. Which brings us to us today and this very special time of remembrance. It occurs to me how fortunate that we are that we have a special design in our worship that is geared towards helping us to remember our rock and our Savior in this very simple and yet so profound way. If you have your communion emblems there, if you want to get them ready, we were prepared to take of those in just a few minutes. I want to read a passage from Luke chapter 22, just real quickly. This was the night that Jesus was going to be led out and betrayed and arrested, and in the events that would lead up to his crucifixion. But in verse 14 of Luke chapter 22, it says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.' And they began to question one another which of them it could be who is going to do this. And as a matter of fact, before that very evening was completed, he was betrayed by one of his closest circle of friends. And even some of the others turned their back on him as well. And as a matter of fact, I think that before the night was over with, they had all kind of left him and gone their own ways. So how important was it for him on this occasion to leave for us these simple memorials? Recorded for us, and more than once, I might add, decades later, after these events, or this event took place on this evening, recorded by more than one of the gospel writers and by the Apostle Paul himself, and how necessary and how meaningful it has been for us to have these things recorded so that we don't, like following the error of God's chosen people in the Old Testament, we can avoid that same error of turning our backs on God, and particularly in turning our back on His Son, our Rock and our Savior. So as we have this opportunity to hear this morning, let us pause and we'll give thanks for the bread. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what we learn from the study of Your Word together and what we can learn from things that have gone poorly in the past, and we can try to do better. Father, we're thankful for this memorial that we have and these emblems, which bring to our memory Your Son who gave His life for us. We're thankful now for this bread, which represents His body that was hung on the cross, His body for us, and for the sacrifice that He made. And these thanks and this prayer we offer in His name. Amen.
Lord, be there for me when I fall. Be there for me when I call. Be there for me, dear Lord. Lord, You be there for me when I fall. Be there for me when I call. Be there for me, dear Lord, You'll
be there. Lord, You'd
be there for me when I call. Be there for me when I call. Be there for me, dear Lord, You'll
be there.
Lord, You'd be there for me when I call. Be there for me when I call.
Now let us pray together again as we offer thanks for the cup. Heavenly Father, we come to You once again, thanking You for this opportunity to remember Jesus, for this opportunity to help our feeble human minds to keep focused on our rock and our Savior. We're so thankful for this cup and his blood that it represents, his blood that cleanses us from our sins and brings us back into our relationship with you. Thank you so much for your love for us, and thank you for his sacrifice and all these things we ask in his name. Amen. So good to be with you all again this morning, and again, looking forward to seeing you all again next week, or as soon as we can all get back together again. Stay safe. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name,
keep my eyes
above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name,
keep my eyes,
and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name,
keep my eyes
above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. I am yours, and you are mine.
Good morning, church, and welcome to our services here with the Kanawha City Church of Christ. Before we get into our study, into our sermon this morning, we want to begin just by reminding you that next week, September 13th, we are beginning picking back up with our in-person services here at the building. And so if you're up to it, if you're comfortable with that, we invite you to join us for that. Now, we realize that not everybody's quite ready for that. So we're going to continue to be putting some stuff online so that you can participate in the church life here just the same way we've been doing for the past several months now. Yeah. And it might look a little bit different, but there's still going to be something there for you so that you can continue to partake in this. So this morning, we're going to continue on with this series that we've been on for the past few weeks. Normally, this time of year, as schools are starting up, we'll pause and just kind of pray over the teachers, over the parents, and over the students. And we normally do that in one service. Mm-hmm. But we are breaking it up this year and taking that each one of those individually over the course of 3 weeks. And this is our final week where we're going to pray over our students. But we don't just want to pray over our students. We're trying to kind of offer some practices, some habits, some ways that our students and those who are participating in this can not only be prayed over, but can also find ways to pray for themselves.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're going with that. And so this morning, like I said, the focus is going to be on our students.
Yeah. And so, you know, the students, you are so important. This coming week, students throughout West Virginia, I believe it's all of West Virginia, go back to school. And this year looks different than most years with back to school. It's weird to think that it's already September because school hasn't started yet. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot that I'm sure, you know, all of the anxiety that we talked about last week and all of the hustle and bustle and rushing around and figuring out what exactly is happening is going through your minds. But for you students, we want to remind you about your identity. Mm. We want to go into this idea that you are made in the image of Christ. Mm. And so that right there is just astounding. And so no matter whether or not you are in-person classes or your virtual classes, always remember that you reflect God, that you reflect Christ. And so just remember who you are through him. And I think 1 Peter 2 really says who you are. And so I really like this wording. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so it's like kind of like Amazing Grace says, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." Mm. You know, you are found through Christ. And I really like where it says you're God's special possession. Think of an item that you have. It might be an Xbox. It might be your phone. It might be, for those kids out there, it might be like a toy that you just, you love. You carry it around everywhere you go. You can't imagine life without it. Mm. That is you to God. You are God's special possession. And so I'm going to tell you a funny story about one time where I kind of lost my identity. And I didn't really lose my identity per se. It was more of I chose to lose who I was. Mm. So I was working at Enterprise. I'm assuming we're allowed to say that here. And, you know, their slogan is, "We pick you up." Hmm. Well, I was driving a car for Enterprise going to pick up a customer, and there were times where I would just get so bored doing that because, you know, it was like every day I was picking up a couple people. And so I kind of made a game out of it. And one day I decided to be a different person. Hmm. I was a totally different person. My name wasn't Jacob. I think my name was Isaac. I was from Connecticut. I called, because I have friends from the New England states, so I know that they call like water fountain, like we call a bubbler. And so I was using terminology from New England states, just saying where, you know, that I was from Connecticut, or maybe I was from Massachusetts, one of the two. But anyway, so this person who didn't know me was asking about my life. And I literally, and it's probably not good that I'm talking about me lying in front of the students as they go into school. But at the same time, I say that to say this. I kind of lost my identity in doing that in a way, because there were parts of that story, actually most of that story, was not true. And so I lost the truth of my story in that. And so just remember, as you're going along in school, don't make up who you are so that you can fit in. Don't make up who you are because you're bored with who you are, because you're bored who you say you are. Because remember, you are God's special possession. You are chosen. And so as you go through these classes, as you hang out with friends, as you hang out with peers, remember who you are and don't allow others to say who you are, and don't allow yourself to say who you are not. That would be a big thing.
Yeah, I think you hit on something important there, and your story is interesting, and does kind of bring up some questions that I'm curious about, but we'll save that for another time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But I think there is very much so in all of our lives, in no matter what stage of life you're in, there is a sense in which we are constantly trying to figure out who we are.
Yeah,
and I think especially in the life of children and teenagers and young adults, kind of those very formative years, there is a lot of question of who am I? And it's not just a matter of searching out self, but also kind of searching out who does the world expect for me to be? Who do my friends expect for me to be? And that causes a lot of confusion and causes us, maybe not to change our name to Isaac and say that we're from Connecticut, but in some ways, I think it does kind of challenge us and tempt us to want to change bits about us that just may not be true, may not be who we really are.
Yeah, we may have that idea of ourselves that we are not worthy of something. We're not worthy of having friends because we don't like the same things that they do.
Right. Yeah. And so I think it's important that we kind of have that anchor that holds us in place, that reminds us constantly, this is who I am. Everything else around me might be changing. Everything else might be kind of hitting me and trying to determine who I am. But there's really one factor that determines who I am in all situations and how I interact within those situations. Mm. And that is the fact that I'm made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And so we've been talking about praying over people and very specifically looking at this idea of praying scripture and using the scriptures to initiate our prayers. And we've kind of used it A as a way to initiate prayers and B as a way of kind of developing that breath prayer that we can hold with us. And so what I want to do before you talking more about this and go back into your first Peter passage there is to look at two scriptures that I think are very formative for me when I think about who I am. Mm. And so the first one we've already talked about a little bit is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. We haven't called it out by where it's found, but we've talked about this idea. Genesis 1 verse 27, God is in the midst of creation. And in verse 27, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Mm. And so I think it's important for us, once again, to recognize that above everything else, and at the very core of who we are created in the image of God. Yeah. And so you talked about reflecting God, reflecting Jesus, and letting that determine how we live. Mm-hmm. Now, I also want to look at Psalm 139. I love this psalm. It's a great psalm. Psalm 139, very specifically verses 13 and 14, the psalmist says, "For you created my inmost being." He's talking to God here and says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And then listen to what he says. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Hmm. "Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And I love that idea of reminding ourselves that we are fearfully and wonderfully made because we're made in the image of God. And knowing that if God created us, he has made us wonderful. It says your works are wonderful. Well, we are part of God's work, so we are wonderful. And just reminding ourselves of that so that we can know that full well.
Yeah,
and so I want to kind of begin this process of praying over the students and giving the students something to pray by maybe offering up this breath prayer that I'm going to kind of combine these two passages together. And so I want us to just kind of pause for a moment, think about who we are, and just allow for these feelings to be recognized, these feelings of inadequacy, feelings of not knowing who we are, feelings of trying to figure out what we should be and what we can be. Recognize those fears, those anxieties, those questions, and then allow for scripture to determine the answer to that. Hmm. And allow for scripture to be breathed into our life, reminding us that we are made in the image of God and reminding us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. and that we need to praise God because of that. And so let's just pause for a moment and allow for this to be our breath prayer. Praise God, I am made in His image. And so just allow for that to work into your breathing patterns. Take that deep breath and then just pray, praise God, I'm made in His image. And maybe as you pray that over and over again, recognize the various parts of that prayer. Praise God, I am made in His image. Praise God, I am made in His image. Amen.
Yeah, so I think you hit on so many good points, obviously. But whenever you were talking about who you are, I think sometimes we allow ourselves to let the world tell us who we are. I mean, I grew up and I wasn't a huge sports guy. You've seen me play sports. It's horrible. It's a terrible thing. I apologize to anybody that has to watch that. But at the same time, I always felt weird because I was a dude, I was a boy, not liking sports. And so the world tells us that boys have to like sports.
Right.
Whereas God doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. God doesn't say, boys, you have to like sports. Girls, you have to like dancing and music and all that stuff. God says who we are. We are His. We're His chosen people. And so as you go this week into school, into this new realm of possibilities, of you running into talking through a video camera, to talking in person to people that you might have never expected to talk to because they were in a different class than you, but now they're with you because you've kind of combined. You're going into all of this. And I want you to remember, students out there, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you are chosen by God. And as hard, as easy as that is to say, it's so easy to say, I'm chosen by God, it's all good, we're good. Really knowing it is totally different than saying it. I can easily say that I'm going to go to the gym 5 times next week. Am I actually going to do it? Probably not. But knowing that God chose me is a huge turning point in one's story, in one's identity. And so I want to kind of pray this scripture over you. I want to pray this 1 Peter 2 over you students, because you are about to enter the school year of a lot of unknowns. You are about to enter a realm of a lot of uncertainty. And that even comes without the pandemic happening around us. So whether or not what life is right now, this is what we would be praying over you. Because going into any school year, meeting new people, meeting new friends, having new experiences, having new teachers, I would always pray this over you. This idea of having your identity and keeping it with you at all times.
And I think that's it. Not to interrupt you, but I think that you were focusing on students, but that just, I mean, I need this prayer in my life.
Yeah.
I think everybody out here needs to hear that because, I mean, we all deal with that. It's not something that is very specific to students or to young people. It's all of us in everyday life. And it's, I think, something that you struggle with when you're young, that you continue to struggle with through your entire life. And so I think having this to hold us down and to remind us is a good thing.
Yeah. And if I can give you homework on top of homework that you're going to be having this week, and actually for us adults, here's homework for you too. Go around and find one person this week. This is kind of something that I'm just thinking of. So surprise. Go around to one person this week and ask them, who are you? Just ask them the simple question, who are you? And notice their answer, because I am sure that somebody, if not everybody, will say, well, I'm a 28-year-old man who works at this job and does this. they won't go more into detail than that. And I'm not asking you to say, all right, now find out every detail about one person. Right. I'm just saying, notice what people say about who they are. Or if you're not around people or don't want to be around people right now, ask yourself, who are you? What comes to mind whenever I say that question, who are you? And so that way you can start formulating this idea that you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, and you are God's special possession. So let me pray this over you students. Let me pray this over everybody, myself even. I mean, I need to know that I am this chosen person. I need to know that God loves me. So, but as you're going this week, also pray this over yourself. I think this whole idea for these past 3 weeks is us trying to help you be equipped to know how to pray for yourself. To be able to pray those breath prayers that we've prayed, to calm the anxieties, to calm the cares, to calm the storm that's happening in your life with going into school, with knowing who you are through your identity. So I just challenge you to just keep praying these prayers. Go back and watch our videos from the past couple weeks and to remember those prayers, to remember those scriptures that we've utilized, and just embed it in you. And at times of being scared, remember that God's got your cares. You cast your cares on Him. Remember that in the times that you don't know who you are, remember that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I'll leave you with this. Let's pray together. Our righteous and holy Father, we come to you now. We thank you for the gift of life. God, we thank you for allowing us to be able to be on this earth and be a light for you. God, we thank you for identifying us from the day that we were thought of to now. We thank you for allowing us to have an identity through you. God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have done that for us. God, I just want us to remember that we are a chosen people, that we are a royal priesthood in your kingdom. God, that we're a holy nation and that we are your special possession. God, I pray that we're able to praise you and that you see it fit how we praise you for knowing who we are. So God, I pray for the students in our congregation. I pray for the students throughout West Virginia. I pray for the students throughout this nation, throughout the world, that are getting back into a rhythm of school and what that might look like. And God, I pray that their anxieties, their cares, their worries just go away. Their identity is through you, and they are able to make this year a great year for themselves. God, we thank you for everything that you do for us day in and day out. And it's in your precious and holy name that we pray. And amen.
Amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.